Hello, welcome everyone to the I Get Buckets podcast for the Cougars Fantasy League. It's playoff time. We've hit it 18 weeks of regular season, or 18 rounds. I think we've got a little bit longer with the All-Star break and everything, but we made it. Draft day doesn't seem too long ago, and a lot of the stuff's still fresh in my mind about hope, positivity, regrets, all thoughts about coming in this year. But we've landed at the end of the regular season with our five teams still in contention, seeking playoff glory and to get that name on the cup. So a big congratulations to the five teams that are sneaking into playoffs, and commiserations for the five that did miss out. There'll be another year very close, but what we're excited about and probably the most fun time for the teams in it. I know the stakes go up. Some of the other teams, I think, you know, when you miss, it's like, okay, I'm done. But I think it's a really good time and a lot of fun to kind of put energy and focus. And I'll be, really hyping it up. Some really interesting matchups that don't stop this week, but going forward until we get a champion. But yeah, just to kind of recap the standings, we had Dan finishing top. Final score of the 15 wins, 3 losses. So it puts him in the very high echelon of teams for regular seasons. I've gone back, you know, I think Dan 1 year lost that one game, but other than that, 15-3. History says that he's going to be in the grand final and probably win. That's the history in terms of teams who finished that high. But I think there's a real competitiveness and teams that are really kind of built, I think, to test him. But that's where the history places him. What a congratulations for a huge regular season on his first year in the league. So, big momentum going through with Dan. Gets the week off first, finishing second. The obituary, so Adam's team going 13-5, slipping with 2 losses to round out the season, which cost him top. So he's going to have to do it a little bit more of the hard way to kind of get through. But putting together his team, he's shown, even I think in the loss yesterday and with some injuries, his score that he was putting up was second highest before losing to Walshy. So he's still going to be competitive in those. Then myself finishing 10-8. I think it was 1 win in my last 6 or 7. So really kind of fell down to earth. But I do think that the team's kind of coming together at least somewhat healthily. We're going to go through the teams a little bit as we go through. But yeah, pinching that kind of fourth spot, finishing on the same record as me in the end of 10 wins, 8 losses was MJ with the Embiid shots. Sharps getting that fourth spot, healthy percentage, but not quite enough to get me. But that extra win on the three teams that were finishing at 9-9. So 50-50 even split across the season. That usually won't be enough to get you playoffs, but because there was such a bunch up in the teams, kind of from 1 to even 8, with Jake finishing 8th with 8 wins, the teams finished on 9-9 were Dobes, Princey and Chris. But that healthy percentage that was always in his back pocket when we were doing the previews of like, is there still hope, is there still a chance for Dobes? The percentage was the thing that was keeping him afloat. He had some rough losses and some rough big scores put up to him, but his team was quite healthy. Didn't have a lot of the huge downs that I think some of the other teams, when they lost, sometimes they lost badly, putting up not a real competitive score. And Dobes had these close losses and his scores were quite well. So he's the one that comes up top, gets that tiebreaker percentage. And unfortunately, Princey and Chris, who have been pretty consistently in playoffs. I know Princey was 2 out of 2 for his year's return. And Chris, I was spoken about in length, is kind of always in the playoffs and very regularly in the grand final, even though he's had struggle getting that crown. So it's a bit of a surprise, I guess, if you look at how his track record is that Chris misses, because he doesn't do that too often. So, going into Jake, who kind of fell apart, 8-10, though, not a bad season. Walshy coming through with 4-14 to miss out on the Sacco, some big wins late. I said earlier, didn't hate the team, it just needed to to get healthy. Kuminga comes in. A few other things kind of just click. And, yeah, biggest score of the round to finish the season and get off the Sacco, which unfortunately goes to Jesse. 3 wins, 15 losses, and finishing the season with 8 losses in a row. Not ideal. Don't think this, Jesse hasn't had the Sacco, at least with the backpack. So at least we've got a new backpack victim this time round. But thanks everyone for a really good regular season. But as I said, we're going to get into the nitty gritty now. We're a day into the matchups already, but now is the time I've had to kind of get down a little bit of a playoff preview. So I think we're going to jump straight into the elimination final and then kind of talk about my matchup with Adam, and then kind of how Dan's placed. But I think the best place to start and where it's more interesting is because the two teams who were in the elimination final are probably the two, you know, informed teams of the league. As I said, Dobes coming in with 7 wins in a row. MJ, 2 wins in a row, but I think collectively his last, you know, 6-7 weeks have been really, really strong. There's an interesting wrinkle with Giannis coming his back just in time for playoffs yesterday. But what's really going to be looking at as a real fireworks, I think, matchup for the teams who are really going to, I think if they can get through this week, it opens up a little bit. Both Adam and I have been somewhat struggling with injuries and kind of getting our form and have done our hard work early. Obviously, we've been both 2 losses in a row coming in to playoffs. So I think what the both coaches are going to look at is that hopefully, you know, if they can get through this round, feel pretty good about maybe doing what Chris did and kind of run through all the way to the grand final last season. We haven't seen anyone from 4-5 kind of win through since we shifted to the 10-team format. You know, consistently who finishes on top has been the team to get through. But I think that's because the teams have finished on top for a reason and they've been the best teams. But I think even with Dan being so competitive, the teams stack up really nicely, and that's where we're going to go into the list at the moment. So Dobes got a full suite of players today. He's down by about 30 at the moment, but really, really interesting kind of guys that have come through. I know that Kawhi has been a huge story of kind of his consistency lately and kind of shaking off the injury. So I just think he's been an absolute kind of mega platform of what Dobes has had to do in the last, you know, 7-8 weeks to kind of get here. So we've got a huge watch on Kawhi. You know, the Kong-Knipple trade's been interesting. Sar is out, so it's not this huge as home run as you'd think it is, but Jalen Williams is out as two. So I think just Kong-Knipple, the fact that Josh Giddey is back healthy, he missed a lot of time. But his last 2 games is like, okay, this feels like more like Josh Giddey. He had a triple-double, a 39.25. And the fact that, you know, G.G. Jackson, in all of kind of the Memphis fallout, the trade and then kind of people being injured, it's been interesting that he's kind of just been dominating lately. His average in the last, like, 14 games has been something crazy above what his 13.9 says for the season. It's an extra 10. So it's 23.9 his average in the last 2 weeks for GG. So he's been really, really consistent and kind of helping float, I think, with other things around the team. So I think it'd be interesting with Case and Wallace now that SGA is back. Jabari Smith Jr. has been in the best form of his career fantasy-wise. And it kind of dipped and then he's been injured. So he's out only a couple of games. So he might even be back next game. He says they're targeting March 5th for him. So I think it'll be really interesting in kind of their schedule going forward. I know Dobes has strategically kind of picked up Pau Larson because Miami have a really good schedule. They play 4 games in the next 6 days. So he's going to squeeze 4 games out of Pau for the week. So I think strategically that's a very interesting, good pickup. Depends if Pau Larson's going to deliver for you, but his last few games have been consistent. At least his floor seems to be high, and he's had a 19 and a 20 last 2 games. So I kind of really like that. He's got heavy on Minnesota. One element is because Ayo Dosunmu was traded, and I think he had him before the trade. So he's kind of ended up with the three Minnesota players. Ayo hasn't been great fantasy-wise. So we'll see where that goes. But Naz Reid, again, I think a little bit more from him would be needed. But Rudy Gobert has kind of been quite good for him as well. The other trade that we should kind of mention, because he got Norman Powell and Rudy Gobert, but with Norman Powell out week to week, I think at the moment, is a massive, massive blow. The fact that week to week, you know, at the moment with playoffs, he only has potentially, you know, 1 week left, kind of maybe puts him out of, unless he really wants to go deep here at the moment. So the fact that Alex Saar is kind of, who knows with him, considered week to week as well, and Norman Powell, it all kind of throws it a little bit off. It's a bit of a blow. And the thing is, you have no margin for error now at the moment, which really sucks. Now the injury on his list has been Najee Marshall. Hopefully he's back pretty soon. It's a finger and he doesn't have too much time out, because Najee's another one that's kind of emerged as a real kind of fan. He's had these flashes before, and obviously Dallas, you know, no Cooper, trading away Davis, like he's had this opportunity to come through. So I think it's something we've seen before, but I think not consistently as much as this. So yeah, I think he's done astronomical place to get here, and I really like the kind of the form of the team going through, led by Victor Wembanyama, who does have four games to finish this week for him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, so I think it's going to be big on Victor to have these four games in 6 days to kind of finish up this matchup. Let's keep a track, because if he's averaging upwards of 40, and this is what you want, is business time now. He's average of 34.9 for the season. He's only, you know, he's had a 32, 25, 22 his last three games. That's not good enough. You want more from, you know, first pick. This is where kind of, you know, checks are cashed and business time for him getting done. So I'm watching the next four games for Victor to see what it is. And Bilal Coulibaly, I think, was a good pickup because he had the back-to-back to do. But just Washington's just a shit show at the moment. And I'm just thinking, with Keyshawn George as well, his minutes have been tugged everywhere, and now he's missing today with an elbow. He came off a screen, an offensive foul, and he was rubbing his elbow. And I think they just got any excuse. They pulled him midway through the third yesterday. But it's not just a Keyshawn George thing. There's a lot of stuff. Bilal's been a little bit more consistent. They're happy to kind of give him point guard and run him go. But, you know, his last 7 days, he's averaging 24 minutes. You wanted that with a, you know, end of season stretch of Washington to be up a little bit higher. But, yeah, I think his team's in really good form. I'm obviously, with the thing, I'm really interested to kind of see how it finishes. Because I think with MJ's, when you look at it, a real interesting to look is how he's built it through free agency. I think Dobes has kind of built it around these couple of trades and a couple of real timely free agency pickups. But these trades, I think, have really kind of reformed and kind of put him in this spot, and as well as kind of having Kawhi resurgence. So it sucks that Norman Powell and Saar are out, but I still think he's going to be really kind of putting it to MJ. It's going to be a dogfight this week. And today will be a big one because he's got a full suite of players. Yeah, I think whoever gets out of this one will be really interesting, the track going forward. So they're Dobes' team. There'll be more to say at the end for every team in terms of a recap and draft review of how the season went. But in terms of just a preview for this week, we can move on to MJ's team. I mean, there's just kind of a lot of home runs in some of the things that are coming back at the same time. So obviously Giannis being healthy, the fact that DeJounte Murray is now available. I looked at the three players that got drafted that were Tatum, Irving, and DeJounte Murray by teams that just wanted to stash these, you know, real high quality, bankable fantasy assets that we've seen before and hope that they come back. The Irving thing hasn't happened, been dropped. The Tatum thing, there's rumblings that he's going to play by Friday this week. We'll see. But the DeJounte Murray at the start always seemed like he had the smaller timeline. And he's back. He's obviously, you know, eased in a little bit, but, you know, the fact that he's kind of playing in these last two games, he's gone 25 and then 23, I think you can feel pretty comfortable deploying him. MJ obviously is. I think he's a real kind of wrinkle fun one for MJ. I think Kevin Durant's playing some of the best basketball he has in, you know, the season. And I know it's on the backdrop of the burner accounts and stuff like that. But I don't know. I've just had more of an eye on how Kevin Durant's kind of been the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. He's last 7 days, let's see what it is. For the season, Durant is at an average of 29. Last couple of weeks, he's up that to 33.6. And I think that kind of tracks. It's just marginal. But watching Houston, I think he's just getting everywhere that he can. The points have been really, really juicy, to kind of per minute stuff ticking over. He hasn't really had that injury gap of, like, you know, an extended, you know, couple of weeks here or there that he had kind of in the past a little bit, it felt. Especially in Phoenix, kind of even missed these chunks where he rolled his ankle in warm-ups and stuff like that. Like, I think consistently Durant's been a really kind of high reward return for MJ and someone you can rely on. I think the fact that Kevin Porter Jr., he's been held and come back, is, you know, been such a huge thing for him. Let's watch the Giannis come back. It was so interesting for Kevin Porter because he was injured, then in the rotation, awesome, playing, you know, up to his average of 25 for the season. And then kind of his minutes started to decline. He went off the bench and then he got injured and was out for ages. And when he came back, it was like, we need you so much. Like, take all the minutes you can. And he was just flourished again. So Giannis is back. We'll see how it goes. But I said, like, the free agency is where I think he's done amazing. He's kind of had to, because I think the Joel Embiid conversation is one that, I don't know, we have here. Maybe it's later at the end of the season and see, only because he's kind of out this week, at least. Next three games with an oblique strain, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, Avika Zubac traded and then kind of put on the shelf a little bit. Who knows where that goes? But yeah, he's had Isaiah Collier, who, another question mark now that Keontae George is back, but he's been awesome. CJ McCollum, a guy that I drafted and dropped, has been awesome, even though he's been traded. He's picked up, you know, Jeremiah Fears, which has been up and down, but Precious Achiuwa is looking interesting now. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he picked up really early in the Trae Young one's been awesome. You know, he rotated, I guess, into that Nurkic stuff that kind of then ended as well. But I think he's done really well with his free agency stuff. I think, I mean, Tobias Harris, he was a pickup for him as well. He's been okay, especially the last couple of games. He's been very, very good. So I think he's been able to patch it together and got to this point now where it's like, okay, I think Mantas Bozelis is playing better fantasy basketball. Obviously, Precious Achiuwa, even Jeremiah Fears with what they're doing at the Pelicans. I'm like, oh, that he's interesting, maybe more than before. Peyton Pritchard with some of the stuff has been really up and down, but I like had really, really, really kind of strong patches for him as well. So, you know, things have come together okay. I think the Embiid thing hurts because he'd got to a point where he was being an actually massive impact for him from week to week. So with him out, he's going to rely on a few other people. Tyrese Maxey has been the second most scoring player in the league after Jokic. So that's how good he's been. Average of 33.0. So I think his average is around that kind of 6-7 mark. But in terms of points scored, he hasn't missed. He's been the second highest scoring player in the league. So huge, huge, huge kind of win there. He had an okay first day, but we'll see how it tracks here. I think schedule-wise, like Philly have the three games, so he's going to have the three from Maxey. And what I've noticed with Jalen Johnson, the Atlanta week is only a two-game week. So he has two of them here with CJ McCollum and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. That hurts. Yeah, because I've seen it with the Jalen Johnson one there. So I think schedule-wise, he's I haven't counted it all up, but he's probably on the back foot against a couple of the other players. So he's got a lot of his guys. Tobias Harris has four, but most of his other players, DeJounte Murray, And Jeremiah fears that means both have kind of the four as well. I can't remember who played yesterday. That would be the other thing to kind of track. But yeah, I think we'll see how it goes with MJ. But I'm expecting this one to go down to the wire. I reckon we're going to have a last day stacked up very closely and people trying to get over the finish line and see how we go. So, yeah, I think a really, really fun one for us to track, and I'll be watching intently. Both teams pretty primed for this one, and whoever gets through, they'll be hoping, yeah, one of their guys comes back and they keep on trucking. But we'll go through to the next matchup with Adam and myself. So, yeah, Adam very close to getting that double chance. And I think he was kind of desperate because I think it would have been nice for an extra week with stuff. We say he's kind of had some injuries. The Jaren Jackson Jr. one hurt, so he's out of the thing. The Laurie Markkanen, obviously both victims of the Utah, whatever you want to call it. I guess you can call it tanking fiasco or kind of strategically punting on the season with their players. It's an absolute fantasy nightmare. Lowry had the MRI that was, everyone's like, oh yeah, oh, guess what it is. Reevaluated in 2 weeks. So, you know, he's halfway through one. He's going to miss the rest of this week and at least partially like next week too, which sucks. We'll see if Tatum comes back, but, you know, Zion rolls his ankle. So Zion played 35 games in a row or something. It was like the highest streak he's ever had before. Questionable for today. Aldama questionable, could return, but, the heavy lifting is going to be put on these other guys, your Cade Cunningham, your Paolos, your Jalen Browns. So these are his rock stars. So these are his all-stars that have kind of really brought him in. He's kind of brought in Brandon Ingram, which I thought was a really nice kind of addition layup. And then Jalen Brunson, who's been kind of just rock solid all year. So just that list of names, I think, very clearly kind of puts him captures the reasons why he's been so good this season. You know, consistently, like, on the floor, these guys, whether it's Cade, Ingram, who has had injury issues before, and Jalen Brown, just have been rock solid kind of playing all season. And he's Sadiq Bey has been absolutely awesome. I'm a big Sadiq Bey fan, obviously. In the absence, I think, whether it was Trey Murphy, they've got a bit of he's just been kind of rock solid with that. Trey Murphy's back now, but there's an opportunity still. And I think VJ Ezcum, in terms of rookies, and I was doing a bit of the count up about the amount of rookies that were rostered, and it was unheard of compared to some of the other seasons. And VJ Ezcum's been the best one. Like, Cooper Flagg's out now. I don't know when we're going to see him. He helped Jesse, but in terms of like this guy, he had to pick him early. VGA Edgecombe goes in pick 128, so 13th overall. He's averaging 20.4 on the season. His last, let's say, 2 weeks, because I feel like it's more. Yeah, he's averaging a 24.5. I just really, really, really like that one, and he's been an absolute rock star for him. I think the question marks are going to be, yeah, again, on where's Orlando kind of going? and can Paolo be that kind of 100% all-star guy? I think I said it before on this podcast, but I don't want 30s from him. If I'm like, I want a couple of 40s. You're playing Washington today. What can you give me? He's got a back-to-back to end this this round, Minnesota and then Milwaukee one, which would be really interesting, both on the road on how he's going to go. So, you know, Paolo's got those four games this week. I'm really interested if those four, and I mean, I hope not, but from Adam's sake, he's going to hope that those four are 120. Like, that's what I want to see at minimum from him in terms of really putting me in a good spot. And with Zion, hopefully, him being playing. The question mark's an interesting one. So, yesterday, Giannis comes back. Kyle Kuzma just doesn't play. Complete coach decision. I mean, interesting because he's been averaging 24 minutes in the last 15 games, or 15 days, I should say. So, it's not like he was on the fringe of the rotation and now out. It was a part of it. And he was rostered on a fantasy because he'd been putting up, you know, healthy enough fantasy numbers in his absence. But then he kind of did nothing. Rylan Rollins really struggled yesterday. He's got these two Milwaukee players that they're keeping an eye on what they're going to do this week. So, yeah, he's taking flyers on Maxence Prosper from Memphis. Not familiar too much on him. And guys like Melton and Brandon Williams, who I think, you know, are going to play. So Brandon Williams is an interesting one I have my eye on. Just a Dallas point guard spot is interesting with the void at the moment. So, yeah, Jalen Smith is the other one that's out and hurt. There's been low-key good for him. But, yeah, we'll see where it goes. We'll see how Cade goes today. I'm hoping that Cade can just be kind of blocked out and kind of not made a factor with Duren. And hopefully Duren can score kind of similar, because last week Duren scored more than him by like 30. And it was an overtime game where I think Cade got fouled out. But if you said that Duren and Cade scored the same this week, I would take that in a heartbeat. So we'll see where that one goes. He's down to start today and had an awful first day. So I reckon he's probably feeling a bit shit. Jaylen Brown missed with illness. Obviously, Kyle Kuzma didn't even touch the floor. So he had like four basically players combined for 8.5 with Melton and Roland Stuck. So that's as bad as it goes. I don't think he's had a first day of a week that's been worse than that. Like, absolutely awful. So probably not feeling amazing, but I think when you look at it, the next couple of days he's got the players out and he's going to start eating away at my lead. Beggars can't be choosers. I'll take the early kind of advantage, but I was very like, oh, fuck, that could have been more. Tari Eason got ejected. Keyshawn George got pulled out early, hurt. Moses Moody got hurt, even though he still played 25 minutes. And Nikola Jokic was 10 under his average. So, but as I said, beggars can't be choosers. Reed fucking Shepherd went off 36.75. So obviously not expecting that. Very happy with him and hoping it kind of continues. Here we go for the season. They've got a little bit of injuries. He's playing as a starter. Be interesting when Jabari Smith comes back, because he started in place of Amen Thompson. Then he started in place of Jabari Smith Jr. and they rotated around. But it'd be interesting if all of them are back where he looks like. But yeah, I think I'm just hoping for the team to stay healthy and whether it's Jokic just kind of crawling across the line would be nice. But yeah, things have, as I said, I've lost, you know, six of the last seven. But Trey Murphy's back. I'm hoping he's playing. You know, Jalen Johnson missed a couple of games. Jokic was the one that was hurt for a bit. That's back. But I need a little bit more from a couple of guys to kind of get across the line. Austin Reeves has been probably the big one that's been very disappointing since I've traded for him. Donovan Klingon has been infinitely better than Austin Reeves in like the last couple of weeks. And the whole idea was that Austin Reeves, once he gets back from injuries, you know, going to be a really good addition for me if the price of Klingon. But it just hasn't been the case so far. I'm not getting off the wagon. I've got no choice of kind of holding on at the moment and hoping he has those big games again, because his scoring is just down at the moment. He's averaging 24 on the season, and in the last 2 weeks he's averaging 17.7 points. So don't like that. Hoping it kind of trends back. But yeah, quickly has been really good. I've liked the addition of Jairus Walker in the kind of whole shuffle, and Nick Clifford's one that had a really good game last, and hoping it stays up. So doing the same as everyone and kind of trying to plug these holes where, you know, there's movement in minutes and rotation and injuries and tanking and a few of these younger guys kind of stepping up. So everyone's kind of chasing the same thing, and I'm hoping my Utah guys too, in terms of Ace Bailey and Flip, can kind of do that as well. But I think my big, I guess my two things I'm really watching on is, firstly, Brandon Miller's been awesome. I've been on the Brandon Miller wagon for a long time. I've got the receipts. It's funny that some of the Hornets and kind of hype and podcasts and heard Zach Lowe do a whole thing on like Brandon Miller. And the comparison yesterday, I heard they're like, oh, you know, Brandon Miller's filling out with like this Paul George kind of Jaylen Brown type. You know, that's the architect. And I know I said a couple of years ago, I'm like, I feel like there's this T-Mac kind of thing with Brandon Miller with his like three optional scoring. And something I have noticed across some of the team and what I really like, it's just a little thing and we don't do categories, but my team just shoots free throws really well. Like Brandon Miller, Austin Reeves, Manuel Quickley, Trey Murphy, these guys don't miss free throws. They're just like automatic as they step to the line. And as Brandon Miller's one where he gets to the line, he hasn't got the foul baiting as much as some of the other players, but he definitely like kind of seeks contact and knows where to get any spots in the 3-point shot. He has games where he doesn't shoot it that well because he's really kind of shooting contested, kind of stepping into stuff. Like the shot quality isn't, you know, super easy, but the quantity is kind of up enough, and he's such a skilled shooter that it makes it kind of his points really kind of tick up, and he's averaging 21 points per season, which is basically his fantasy where he goes in 21.7. But for the last 2 weeks, it's just up a little bit more. I thought it'd be higher. Last week, he's averaging 27 points. So yeah, he's had this little kind of push. We'll see how the team goes. I think hopefully I can kind of hang on to the lead over the next couple of days, and then I know I've got a little bit of a full team on one to kind of ram it home and put me in a good position with a couple of days to go to cling on and keep my double chance alive and move forward with the dream of the three-peat. So we'll see where it lands, but yeah, team is okay. Denny Avdia, I said there was two things I was watching. He's the other one I'm watching. Hasn't really played in the last 6 weeks. I think we're kicking on now. Played 1 minute when he went to return. That day I was up against Dobes in the last day of the week. Tried to do it. His back's no good. I just hate the back injuries. It's just you don't really know where you sit with them, I think, with players and how they're responding to treatment. And if they're no good, they're no good. Like you just can't – it's a hard thing to kind of play through unless they're just going to jab you up. I don't know where the confidence is. Obviously, Denny's been an absolute pillar to what I've done this season, especially early. He was, you know, top five in points scored for – the whole season really until he got hurt, and that's one of the things is I was just healthy and then it took that hit. So Denny's a bit of an X factor here. If I can get him back, I feel good, especially in replacing that awful Anthony Davis trade that didn't help. But they're the two matchups. Dan will be sitting pretty at the moment. I think he was pretty happy getting the double chance because he didn't really have anyone play yesterday. But yeah, Keontae George is back. Devin Book is back. He basically has a complete clean bill of health at the moment, which is rare and he'd be feeling really good about. I still think there's quite a few interesting question marks on the team. We'll go through it quickly. I think I don't have any questions about Luka really. I think the fact that Toronto are in the mix means the Scotty Barnes absolute plateau and not like nuclear self-destruction. It's probably not on the cards. I think the fact that Michael Porter Jr., he didn't get traded in the plans for Brooklyn. He might rest every now and then, but I think some of the question marks on these guys have gone away. You know, DeAndre Ayton, he has that interesting kind of media comments and then being dog shit. He only played 18 minutes. I'm watching that. The center rotation for him, I think, is really interesting. With you got Robert Williams, Keller Ware, Maxime Renault, DeAndre Ayton, Chet Holmgren, and he's got a lot of Nyaka on Conway, though. He's got a lot of centers that, Keller Ware's kind of been up and down. Robert Williams, not sure if he stays kind of on the list with Booker and George having to come back from the IR. But there's just question marks, I think. Like, I look at the team and I'm like, I just think the consistency and the combined, like, I don't think there's a lot of players that are like not going to do well. Like even Yahami Harkes Jr. has just been a rock star for him all day, and Jeremy Grant has been going big when, you know, people are out. He's had a couple of rough games lately, but I think his floor's, you know, high enough. He's got three Portland players with Robert Williams, Jeremy Grant and Temani Kamara, which it's not ideal, but I think they're not people that he's relying on like in a huge amount. So we'll see how it goes. Miles Bridges is probably the other one that's interesting, only because like I think this kind of Knappe and Conknipple and Brandon Miller emergence kind of just as a way of the priorities kind of erodes a little bit of these kind of shot attempts. And now that Coby White is there as well, like I just think there's players that I like more than him, and I wonder if it's just like a slow kind of erosion of his ceiling and what he can do. So we'll see that where it tracks, because I mean he's averaging 21.7 for the season, has been really good. So I think Dan's in a really good spot, just kind of waiting in the the weeds for whoever comes through. Yeah, kind of go through the best thing about top, and I like the way we do finals because it puts like emphasis on the regular season. But you know, you only really have to win one of those two games that you're going to be in to get into a grand final, and then you know you get in and put your best foot forward, and you just get a real opportunity to kind of do that when you finish at top, more than you know a 4-5 who has to win four games in a row. Which is rough against the quality that we have. So, really good. Quick preview for that one of getting it out, I think, just before game start on game two or day two of seven. Good luck to everyone who's still here in playoffs. And thank you if you're one of the other coaches just interested in getting up to date. We'll see how we go with these previews going forward. I always definitely... we'll do the recap afterwards of the grand final, but we'll see if we can squeeze another one in before the grand final or maybe even before the other round, but we'll see how we go. Thanks everyone for checking in, and yay for fantasy basketball. Let's see how it lands. Really excited. So I'll talk to you soon, guys. Love you all. Bye-bye.